This is an Audio Wool original.
The depths of the jungle, where the wild things roam. A drink was created that'll make you feel at home, with Guyana's delight and the mysteries untold. Fried they can push, oh, it's a delight. The taste brings the jungle right into your night. We said, let the rhythm take control. This tropical potion will light up your soul.
Camp Punch is an exciting energy beverage that tastes exactly like it was freshly harvested from the forests of Guyana in 1978. Sweetened with cane sugar, blended with ginseng, caffeine, B vitamins, and no human blood.
This tropical potion will light up your soul.
Visit shop.brightday.com to pick up Bright Day Camp Punch before it's too late.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. If you'd like to support us, go to patreon.com/brightday.
Fright Day. I'm your host, Byron. As much as I've groaned and dragged my feet when it comes to annual Fright Day events, things like Turkey Month in November, which we didn't really do. We ruined the holiday, though.
You decided to ruin the holiday instead of doing turkey, but in case you're wondering, Byron, I already have some notes for Turkey
Month. Sure. Then there's Moon June, which... even I'll admit, after a decade of Fright Day, it just doesn't feel right to fully ignore.
Mm-hmm.
You know. However, after six or so Moon Junes, that does mean we've talked a lot about the moon. All the tentpole conspiracies, towers, bridges, ruins, Nazis up there, how it's hollow, Apollo missions, and whistleblowers who have witnessed more than we're allowed to know. We even interviewed one.
Oh, we did.
That was interesting. Yep. Yeah. And of course, that we've never stepped foot there and that it isn't real at all. I even pushed the limits by discussing the lunar effect. Remember that?
I do.
Are you eating yogurt right now?
It's not crunchy. I thought it'd be safe.
Interesting. That's that people's violent impulses are affected by the moon cycles. I covered the Valley of the Moon killings. It took place at the hands of Alaskan serial killer James Dale Ritchie.
I think I blocked that one.
I was really stretching there. There's Project Moondust, Lost Cosmonauts, Nukes, and Moonwalking. You know, our Truth of Fake News series that we did on Michael Jackson. It's safe to say the bottom of the barrel is in sight.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
I apologize in advance for maybe the most wild subject that we've ever covered. Not in terms of, like, it's
weird. I'm trying to think.
Weird or wacky, but the fact that it's, you know... it's mooning.
It's mooning.
Burying your posterior as an act of lighthearted disrespect.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a tactic of protests throughout the 20th century. It started way before then. Of course, we've got all the anti-war, but more recently, there was the great mass mooning of the KKK.
Ooh, I don't know about that one.
It took place in Austin, Texas in 1993, which helped mark the last Ku Klux Klan rally at the Texas State Capitol.
Wow, yeah, so that was a powerful mooning.
It sure was. There's the moon against monarchy in 2000.
Big fan of that one.
Protesters organized a mass mooning outside Buckingham Palace in London.
Yeah, goddamn monarchy.
Not many people mooned, though.
Well, that's kind of not very much
showed
of a
up.
Mass mooning.
It
then.
Gained attention.
They were just scared to actually moon.
They got a little scared. Have you seen videos on TikTok of
Brits
those?
Are too formal.
I watched the horses.
Horses can't moon. Their butts
no.
in bare all the time.
Yeah, not always. You know the guards.
Bojack Horseman, I guess.
Excuse me.
Sorry. Yeah, the fancy ones that aren't supposed to move.
Yeah, sometimes they sit atop a steed or hold next to it, and anyone who tries to take pictures with the horse will bite.
I freaking love a horse that's trained to bite.
I kind of love that,
do they
too.
Bite them in the butt?
No.
I was wondering what the story was about.
We're not going to do butt talk the whole time, right?
I mean, this isn't a children's program.
Yeah, but
it is.
Come on now.
It's a bit. I have some very inappropriate things that I'll bring in. Don't worry.
I'm embarrassed already.
You shouldn't be.
2017, outside the Chicago Trump Tower, of course, hundreds of protesters gathered along the Chicago River and mooned the tower. as a form of protest against Donald Trump, particularly his refusal to release his tax returns, which he still hasn't done.
See, we're not supposed to, that's off limits today.
A year earlier, though, the Victoria Parliament protest in 2016, Victoria, Australia, demonstrators planned to moon the Parliament building to protest new legislation banning the exposure of buttocks in public.
Okay, that's amazing.
But yeah, after police warning, they decided to use signs instead of actually mooning. And then, of course, there's Bart Simpson and his father, Homer, who did it all the time on The Simpsons.
Oh, Bart.
I don't know how that got in.
Hey, girls, check out this president. I am not a butt.
He's dead.
And this is for the United States of America. If I may, I'd like to show you a few slides. Here's Springfield as it appears from space. Somewhere in this windy valley is the Lost Dutchman's mine.
Young man, that appears to be a picture of your real...
I'm Dr. Cheeks. I'm doing my rounds, and I'm a little behind.
He'll be fine.
She put a spell on me. Must drop pantaloons.
I wonder how that happened.
Hey, come on, Sharky!
Hey, you want a piece of this?
You call yourself the king of the jungle!
Handful of other people in pop culture, folks like noted conspiracy theorist Robbie Williams, Green Day's Billy Joe Armstrong.
Wait, what did Robbie Williams do with mooning?
He just moons people sometimes.
Hey, the Robin's here to say hi.
Yeah, okay. Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day, he does it when things aren't going very well, and one of these tantrums got him an indecent exposure citation early on in his career.
Really?
But it wasn't always so innocent. And on rare occasions, the repercussions of mooning have been deadly. Tonight, we're going to be exploring the history of mooning, as well as some prominent examples of when mooning went south.
And in fact, Byron, you talked a little bit about... Listen to those pretty robins. And in fact, you talked a little bit about your understanding of mooning. I mean, that's a pretty song.
Does it live here? Is it right
it
there?
It does. Yeah,
oh, above the chimes, I see.
Yeah, above the chimes. It's true.
This is nice. Adding a little bit more ambiance.
You know, it's funny. That's what Sam said. Sam said, oh, it's for Byron.
Yeah, it stinks.
Sam really likes birds. He takes care of birds. It's his fault, not mine. I kind of had a pretty strong opinion of mooning, for better or for worse, before I started researching this. And I think that the source of it was a Marlon Brando character in one infamous film, which we'll get to the film in a minute. It is infamous. He gets kicked out of a club in Paris and responds in what I always thought to be like the most American of ways. Pulled down his pants and stuck his bare ass out at the people that were still dancing.
Yeah.
So I kind of always saw this action as, I would say, a spectrum of, on the innocent end, buffoonery.
Sure.
And on the worst end, assholery. So, no pun intended. So, the, like you were saying, Bart Simpson, kind of on one end, like he moons the mayor, okay? And he's just like a smartass.
Yeah,
he's just a buffoon.
Literally.
And then on the other end, I've got this Marlon Brando scene, this privileged man expressing the confidence in his superiority by forcing other innocent bystanders to witness his bare ass. After all, this movie was The Last Tango in Paris, which is infamous for a really horrific on-screen real assault of a woman. You remember the butter story?
I do recall that. Yeah. Do you
rough story?
No, not right now.
No, okay. Just suffice it to say, I mean, I feel like that's all you need. It was not good. And so I've always, I would say, even more associated it on that end and kind of, you know, just another flex of the patriarchy. Maybe it's because I haven't seen many women mooning, but Byron, you know, in the last couple of years, I've been trying really hard to challenge my preconceived notions.
And this is one of those situations.
This is one of those. Okay. Yeah. So I decided I'm going to research a bit and I'm going to figure out if I'm right or if I'm wrong. Admittedly, I typically go into such research endeavors with the belief that I am probably right, but I'm going to look anyway.
Shouldn't do that. That's the wrong place to enter any sort of research.
Well, and it kind of turns out that I...
Myth busted.
A little bit. Yeah. So I started, because I'm a nerd, digging into scholarly articles. There's a very interesting one, Byron, if you ever have a spare, you know, 4 or 5 hours, you should read. It was published in 1991. Do you know who Gilbert and George are?
No.
Okay, they were, you should look them up. They were these bodily humor comedians in UK.
It's just not my thing.
During the 80s. Not my thing either, but they were kind of a cultural phenomena. In fact, this very prestigious literary magazine published a critical theory research piece called Masculinity, Scatology, Mooning, and the Queerable Art of Gilbert and George on the visual discourse of male ejaculation and anal penetration. And it's this whole theory about why men moon, and it being like this...
tied to sexuality?
In some ways, or tied to the fear of being assaulted themselves.
Okay.
Or there was a whole bunch of stuff. I didn't read the whole thing, but it brought me back to my literary theory days when I thought, man, if all I have to do is make up stuff like this, and then it turns out that the real world really didn't care much about critical theory. I did. I did mine on Dogville.
The film?
Yep.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they let you graduate?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, then I started digging into law because, you know, that was the next step in my own educational evolution. It turns out, Byron, in Maryland... in 2006, there was a ruling that found indecent exposure relates only to exposure of the genitals. So even though mooning was found to be gross and rude, it was not illegal.
You have to keep the parts tucked.
Yeah. Or if you're a lady, go to town.
No, you can't go too far to town.
Well, you just, I mean, angles, I suppose.
Yeah.
Although the opinion was very dishearteningly chauvinistic, it did include a specific example calling out women for wearing thong bikinis at the beach, and why if that was legal, mooning surely could not be illegal.
I mean, that's fair.
I guess it's fair. It was also like the era where dudes were wearing their pants like around their hip bones too, though.
2006.
I mean, it was post-era, but it was like wrapping it up, right? Like that was fresh in the mind.
You're still covered
in the minds
by,
of judicial authorities.
Sure.
That's got to be like, you know.
It's interesting because I think it has to do with, like you said, indecent exposure as well as disorderly conduct.
Yes.
It depends on intent and context.
Yes.
And also whether it's on public or private property.
Oh, I suppose it
could
be. You
can't
do
it in a restaurant.
I wonder if you could.
That's private.
Well, but only if the restaurant owner says you can't, I suppose.
Yeah, if they ask you to leave.
Yeah. Well, once I felt like I had my solid footing on some of this.
Well, I found one more legal opinion here.
Oh.
The Virginia Court of Appeals. It was a case involving a 14-year-old boy who mooned his school bus driver.
That's like the Bart Simpson. Okay,
yeah,
let's see what happens.
It was very Bart Simpson-esque. It was found that it didn't meet the state's definition of obscene conduct and was dismissed. Also dismissed the indecent exposure charge.
Really?
But they said it could still be considered disorderly conduct, so...
Really?
Yeah.
This has definitely fallen to a state's rights issue. So all the states seem to have
as it should.
Well, yeah. I mean, that one I'm pretty okay with being there.
Okay.
Some others, maybe not so much.
Yeah.
But then I started finding these strange stories where mooning was actually used as an act of dissent, kind of flipping it to the man rather than it being the man who's mooning. Though most often both sides involved men. So, for example, in 1204, in the middle of the Crusades, these crusading, proselytizing warmongers tried to invade Constantinople. The Greeks were able to fend them off. And apparently, while the crusaders were fleeing in their ships, a bunch of the Greeks stood on top of a tower and mooned them as their ships went away.
Moon tower.
Towers on the moon.
No. Okay. All right.
Well, I thought that was for sure where you were going. And this one I was particularly fond of when I discovered supposedly there were members of the Wabanaki tribe who, when Giovanni de Verrazzano, Italian explorer, came to Maine, first explorer to hit Maine specifically in, I believe, 1524. When he showed up there, his men came to shore, were met by this group of Wabanaki tribe members standing on top of a cliff. And the story that I saw originally was a pretty short one, just saying they mooned the Europeans. But really what happened is even cooler. They stood up there, refused to come down, managed to communicate with the guys below that, no, 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 we're not coming down to the shore to see you. But also negotiated trades for some things that they wanted.
Like pants.
Like lower stuff down, pants perhaps. They would lower stuff down on a rope and then bring the stuff back up and make their trades. And once the trades were all done, they turned around and mooned all of the fellows they'd just traded with. Apparently, rumor had spread of these European folks coming in on boats, not necessarily bringing all good news. Mm-hmm. And so these guys were prepared to, you know, take what they could.
It's a fast one.
And then insult them.
Yeah.
Loved.
It's the handshake to the...
Yeah.
To the hair.
Exactly. It was maybe my favorite mooning story. And that's where my opinion started to change. And I'm like, okay, this is pretty cool. Then at the Siege of Nice, okay, this was the summer of 1543. Don't ask me who was sieging Nice, but this was also Crusades time. So probably something to do with the Crusades. This woman, Catherine Seguaran, she was just a run-of-the-mill normal towns lady. Okay. But she was this badass that led the town to defend itself against the siege. Her lead in defending was to stand before the invading forces and stick her ass out at them. So this is kind of the first female power moon that I found. And I was
power moon.
It was pretty cool. I mean, that's a flex. Like, keep in mind, you like couldn't show your neck. We were trying to explain to Creech and Puckwudgie today, this weekend, about belly buttons.
Oh.
Like for a long time, like even in cartoons that ran in the newspaper, like comic strips, they couldn't show women's belly buttons.
Interesting.
Because it was considered like way too prurient. Like, no. Can't do that.
Wow.
But yeah, back in, you know, the 1540s, even worse. And she just turned around and like flashed her whole ass at these guys. I thought that was very, very cool. Kept going. Found another.
Jeez.
I mean, there are tons of these stories,
of
but these were the coolest
yeah.
ones that I found. Apparently, there is a Maori, and it's funny because I say Maori, which refers to like a whole group of tribes, and I realize that you should know the individual tribal names, but I don't. So a Maori custom where mooning does have direct ties to hierarchy and power and basically communicating to somebody that you think you are higher than them, which is funny because that was kind of how I've taken the symbol all along. But this was used in an interesting way. In 1986, Queen Elizabeth II came to New Zealand. She had been there, you know, 4 or 5 times before. But on this particular occasion, a bunch of people had organized protests. First off, they chucked eggs at her, and actually they got all over her dress. She had egg yolk all
in
over her dress.
In this economy? I guess in that economy.
In that economy. Yep. I don't know what eggs went for back then, but obviously the Maori people have a lot to say about the colonization of New Zealand and, you know, the impact that the British have had on them. And this gentleman had a van with the large image of a bare butt of a Maori gentleman on the side of his van painted. He tried to join the motorcade that QE2 was in. Well, the police took this very seriously and like rammed his van and kept him out of the way. But,
rammed his van?
Yeah, it's too bad because
I can't even picture what this would look like.
What the picture looked like. So yeah. It's funny. I kept trying to find pictures, and I feel like part of the punishment was nowhere that I could find was it posted.
Yeah.
And because it was 86, it wasn't like somebody was there and took a photo and like threw it up on the internet.
Go on Twitter or something.
Yeah. So I haven't been able to find. If you can find one, please put it in the show notes because I would love to see it too.
Definitely.
So yeah, I kind of start deciding, well, maybe actually there's some cool subversion power reversal that can be found in a mooning.
Most certainly used as just causes.
And in fact, you talked a little bit about during the Vietnam War, and that's one that...
I couldn't find specific examples, okay. But I feel like it was a moon-happy time.
People were real happy to be naked in the 60s and 70s.
They were mooning.
Yeah.
I feel like it was definitely a tactic that was used.
Yeah, I mean, before you put your RBG collar on backwards around your hips and stick your butt out at the police officer that seems to pull you over for no reason, do remember that the law in many states surrounding mooning is fuzzy, and so is this, our core story of the very first mooning in history that is recorded. So, it was about 80 CE, which, brief interlude... AD stands for Anno Domini, which has been used for like after the birth of Christ, like year of our Lord. So the year of our Lord was zero.
Yes.
And then afterwards. Okay. Uh-huh. BC used to stand for before Christ, but they actually aren't used as much anymore. They were used for a long time, but now the more common, especially the academic version, is CE and BCE. So CE is common era, or some people say current
before
era.
Common era. Yeah.
And then before common
that
era,
makes sense.
Before current era, which I like because it doesn't involve Latin and it's easier for me to remember.
Yeah, I know BCE. I guess I never really heard CE used.
Yeah, there you go. Now you know. This actually was used frequently by Jewish academics for more than 100 years before it became widespread, which also interestingly ties back to our story tonight. So it was right around 80 CE, or 80 if you're old school, the Romans controlled Jerusalem, and it was the holy holiday of Passover. You know the story of Passover?
I do. It's just a major Jewish holiday that celebrates the exodus of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt.
Yes, that is, I think, the ultimate. But Passover refers to a very specific biblical story in which plagues passed over the houses
that were marked.
Yeah.
So like death of firstborn son, the locusts and all that stuff.
Yep. And so it's so funny because I, like you, went to some friends' Bible camps and things as a kid, but I remember nothing except for the story of Passover. I thought that was really badass.
It's an interesting story. Anytime you're talking boils and pestilence,
it sticks with you a little bit more, I suppose.
Lice and frogs.
Yeah. There was a gentleman named Josephus, which when I was doing some research, I heard somebody say reminded them of Bocephus, which was the name for Hank Williams, but really it isn't. It's the name for Hank Jr. I felt like that needed to be corrected, in case anybody else heard that. And this guy is a little bit of an unreliable narrator. So part of this story we have to take, it's pretty confirmed that it happened because the fallout from this incident was significant enough that it ended up in multiple tellings of history. But how the incident began is a little bit confusing. And in fact, it's a little bit confusing to me as to whether it actually counts as mooning, which we will discuss in a minute, Byron. But it is commonly known as the very first mooning, and that's why we're going to discuss it at length tonight. It was this very holy time for the Jews who were already kind of being subjected to, not even kind of, they were very much being subjected to the occupying Romans. A soldier standing atop a wall of sorts, looking down upon a crowd of Jews who were celebrating Passover, decides that he is going to take a physical action that can be seen by all of them. Apparently this hasn't changed because it is also interpreted as insulting today, and it was interpreted as insulting then. You know, now we're back to, yep, this is exactly what I thought mooning was all along.
It's Wrigleyville.
Yes, it is. That's so funny because I was going to use the phrase frat boy, but I feel like that kind of works as well. The soldier, this is one translation because remember Josephus did not write in English, pulled back his garment and, cowering down after an indecent manner, turned his breech to the Jews and spake such words as you might expect upon such a posture.
Get a load of this? Is that
something along those lines?
Sure.
Okay. Problem being, depending on the translation you read and depending on your understanding of the vocabulary and colloquial terms of the time, more interpretations than not say that he actually farted in their direction.
Come on.
There are even questions as to whether this was the origin of that Monty Python skit. I haven't even watched
Never
full Monty Python
it,
movies, but I'm sure you've heard the quote, "I fart in your general direction."
Yeah, I guess.
Yes.
Fart in your general direction. Your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberries.
So apparently that may or may not be the origin for Python's joke there.
I hate this episode.
I'm really sorry. Yeah. I really like it, actually. Now, here we are, a group of Jews trying to celebrate a holiday that they are definitely being treated terribly for celebrating.
Yeah, they're on a pilgrimage to celebrate this.
Yeah, and this asshole soldier who he and all that he represents are making your life much more difficult than you feel it should be.
Yeah.
Drops
trow and rips
drops
one.
Trow. Yeah. Now, remember, our narrator here is this Josephus feller who was a historian, but also
Roman.
Well, he started out Jewish and defected to the Roman side and is one of the most prolific historians of the time, but has certainly had his account of things called into question.
Well, when you defect, you tend to not look with the clearest of eyes at the thing you left.
Yeah. I think he was very concerned with being seen as super important in history, which apparently he accomplished.
I don't know. This is the farting story?
Well, no. My point is,
I know he did way more than that.
He wrote a ton of stuff, but he tend to maybe exaggerate details a little bit.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
He knew how to spin a yarn. This was not met very well by the Jewish folk who were trying to celebrate their holiday. And it's a serious holiday. And as you said, it was very clearly a pilgrimage, not the time to be mocking people.
Yeah, it's a large gathering of people.
And so chaos completely broke out. It was maybe what one might refer to as the straw that broke the camel's back, where obviously there had been frustration and anger over the occupation of their land. They were incredibly angry. And this was, you know, that's all I can stand and I can't stand no more, which I believe is a quote from Chunk in Goonies. No?
I've never seen the movie.
Can I give you a movie list that you have to watch all of?
I mean, if I do the same, and you know a Serbian film is probably going to be on that list.
I was just going to say, can we make a mutual, like, truce that I will not include Bruno,
Labyrinth.
And you will not include...
I like Bruno. What's wrong with Bruno? Well, actually, it's kind of tough to get through. I don't know if you've
there
seen
you
it
go.
Recently.
Not in a long time.
I don't think it aged very well.
No? Okay, well, Newsies. I promise not to include Newsies if you don't include Serbian film.
That might be fair. This will be like a book club, but a film club.
How many movies?
I don't listen. We'll plan it later.
No, this is actually kind of important.
Nah, it's okay. Six.
You don't think so?
Yeah, I don't think so right now.
Okay. This wasn't the funny ha-ha. This wasn't even a Maori man getting his van rammed by New Zealand police officers. It was the death of anywhere from 10 to 30,000 human beings.
Yeah, I read that number.
Well, and it's hard because it's a huge gap. I mean, either one is horrific.
Yeah, that's like 30 to 50 feral hogs.
No, what?
That's I'll share.
Is that biblical?
It's a tweet that came out in a conversation about gun control. There's a whole podcast about it that I'll share with.
Oh, God, see, there aren't enough hours in the day for me to consume all of that. So I appreciate you giving me the cliff notes when they're important.
Yeah.
It was a tragedy. And it actually, the tragedy gave way to a stampede. Basically, if we're to believe Josephus, the reaction, though many of the Jews were very upset, the extreme reaction started with a few young Jewish boys who basically were like, screw you, and started throwing rocks at the soldiers.
Interesting.
And then the soldiers, they obviously tolerated no...
They're soldiers,
right.
So they're armed as well.
So they got reinforcements. When more reinforcements, more soldiers came, it freaked the pilgriming Jews out even more. Mm-hmm. And they were sure they were going to be attacked and killed because, you know...
Soldiers.
Why wouldn't they believe that?
Yeah.
They ran for their lives. That's when anywhere from 10 to 30,000 people died.
Yeah.
Because Josephus exaggerates a bit, we might be closer to the 10,000 end than the 30,000 end.
Regardless, that's a significant
amount. Horrific.
How many people died in 9/11?
That's definitely a your story, not...
2,977.
Well, then if we were to talk about, you know, the bombings we committed that followed it,
okay,
we might be
yeah.
able to tally quite a bit more.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't called mooning at this time, of course, but it is interesting to me that what has now become mostly a joke, though, as we did discover, certainly a serious act of resistance at times, began as an absolutely horrible, disgusting, tragic incident, mm-hmm. and very much did exhibit an ugly power dynamic. And then that power dynamic was quadrupled down on with horrific death and destruction that followed. And with all of that at the background, I mean, I hesitate to imagine what most mooning individuals would feel if they knew that the act they were committing was rooted in the death of 10 to 30,000 Jews. It's a bit ugly to think about, and it kind of takes the fun out of mooning, which is why this is such a good Fright Day episode, because it's all about Byron taking the fun out of things. Apparently now we have removed the fun from mooning. So I guess my takeaway, Byron, unless you've got a very serious thing to resist and you really want to use this as one of your resistance cards, just keep your ass in your pants until you're with somebody who actually wants to see it.
Consent.
Yeah. Which I was surprised with the legality stuff that there haven't been more consent related, like Harvey Weinstein mooned me. Indecent exposure, right?
Sure.
Like if you flash somebody, that's not okay. If you show your ass, I don't know.
We've got a bit of a two-tiered system in terms of that.
Well,
I mean, in regard, like celebrity, Elton John moons people from his yacht all the time.
Well, yeah, the rules don't. He's white and a celebrity.
Sure, and also in international waters.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah, no, but like...
International waters, that's... We didn't even get into maritime law.
Yeah, we didn't.
Well, I don't know. It's interesting to me, I think, the idea that it's only assault or indecent if you're trying to invoke a sexual connotation. I don't know. I'm going to be totally straightforward, and I think that...
You're fairly Puritan on this?
No, I just think that most dudes' middle-of-the-day backsides are going to be better looking than their middle-of-the-day front sides. Like, so I don't really know why one would be considered more sexually whatever than the other. It's where our law gets very interesting.
Interesting,
I feel like it probably should be... both or neither.
So you're saying we shouldn't be allowed to flash our butts unless we're also able to flash our genitalia?
Yeah, I kind of think so. Of course, then it's a slippery slope, because what about people who do find, I mean, now we're in the Middle East from a neck or a knee or a, right? But that's why we used to have to wear stuff that covered all that up.
I think this is a much deeper conversation.
So then maybe actually we should make chaps required clothing. Buttless chaps for everyone.
Now, I don't...
Even the playing
why are
field?
You forcing, no, it's a personal choice if you want to show the appropriate parts of your body.
But it's, again, it's that... Who wants to see it?
You're acting like an old lady here. Well, you know, I mean, people didn't want to see Elvis shaking his hips either.
Yeah, but you didn't have to watch. Mooning, the whole premise of mooning is like, surprise. You're not asking to be mooned. If you're right, asking to be mooned, I don't think it counts as a mooning.
This is a tangent I was not prepared for. Just look through my notes here.
You know what you probably are prepared for is to talk about somebody dying. But remember, I beat you because I got 30,000.
Yeah, you do have a higher death toll in terms of the fallout from a mooning incident. But I do have a couple stories to share with you. Friday, March 24th, 2006, the moon was in a waning crescent phase.
So what the fuck does this have to do with the moon?
I don't know. I just add moon facts because it's moon June.
Okay. Okay. Jesus. Keep going. I'm waiting.
So Sick by Neo topped the charts. Larry the Cable Guy health inspector attempted to distract American theater goers from the brutal war raging in the Middle East.
Academy really want to get out in the field and prop...
You ever fart so hard your back cracks? Oh, man, I got to get out of here. Good Lord Jesus and Dale Earnhardt Jr. I am a dadgum ticking time bomb.
Beaten at the box office.
Oh, that war. Different war.
By a PG-13 horror film called Stay Alive.
You don't remember that one.
Me either. It's about a group of teenagers who find themselves in possession of Stay Alive, an ultra-realistic 3D video game based on the spine-chilling true story of a 17th century noble woman known as the Blood Countess.
Okay, so...
A lot going on that weekend.
That was a bad box office weekend, because that one, I guarantee you, didn't make much either. But it makes me happy that Larry the Cable Guy lost.
Larry got $10 million.
Fuck you, Larry.
Why?
He's always been the most annoying comedian of all time.
Yeah, he's pretty bad.
Wildly annoying. Like nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah, it's okay. There's worse. You know, Gabriel Iglesias, Jeff Dunham, I could think
of... Aren't they, like, highly offensive, though? Like...
Gabriel Iglesias?
No. I don't know.
Jeff Dunham, he's insensitive. But, no. Nah. Do you remember 2006? What was your 2006 like?
Just trying to think back to it. Oh, that was a beast of a year.
Yeah?
Oh, God, yeah. I was actually just telling horror stories about that this morning. Yeah. You graduated in 05. Uh-huh. You didn't graduate in 06.
I had graduated high school.
I was having a quarter-life crisis.
Oh, yikes.
It was ugly.
Wait, were you in Chicago at that point?
I had just returned from Chicago. Oh,
that makes sense.
Huh. I was dating some dude in the Army.
Wow.
Oh, God.
Thank you for your service. As night crept in, Martin Malone, a 47-year-old man, faded away in a ball field behind St. Eugene's Catholic Church in Clifton Heights. How terrible Marty's final moments must have been, slowly drowning in his own blood as the cold swept over
Jesus,
his body.
Fuck, Byron.
Yeah, that was the words of a family friend named Kevin Brown regarding the senseless and brutal murder. I can't think of an animal who would have done something like that.
I can't, a human.
Yeah. Martin, who lived a modest life, sleeping at his sister's house. Her name was Isabel Lee. He was making ends meet by rummaging through garbage and finding items that he could resell. Scavenging, you know, dumpster diving. We all have parents that have done that. Was your dad a dumpster diver?
No, but I was.
Yeah, my dad.
It was a very popular thing to do at a really expensive college
when
I was in my 20s.
I found things in my father's garage that I threw away at my apartment house. So I've started cutting the cords at that point. It's just like, yeah, no, I can't have that.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's bad. He's a good man.
He's a great
man. And
he's
stopped doing that. But there's nothing wrong with it. Martin, he was a guy who, quote, minded his own business. He was not known to cause trouble. And, you know, there's no harm in making use of things other folks have discarded.
Heck no?
Unfortunately, though, in this case, it was a lifestyle and occupation that certainly made him more vulnerable to harassment.
Yeah. People are mean.
An extreme case of this happened that late March night. While everything that happened isn't exactly clear, I was able to track down court documents, including witness accounts, summarized by the Honorable Patricia H. Jenkins.
Honorable? What makes her honorable?
Seemingly a pretty good judge.
Oh, is she? She's a judge. I thought you were just calling her honorable for no apparent reason.
Literal judge, yeah.
Love you guys! Bye! It's a good color shirt, Sam.
It's fun. He doesn't care.
No, it's good. It's one of my favorite colors. It's that, like, yeah, I like it.
They call it Brat Green. I don't know if you're aware of the new Charlie XCX album that's taken the world by storm.
Nope.
Yeah.
I would call it Chartreuse.
Well, it's Brat Green.
I don't. Why is it called Brat Green?
Because her album's called Brat, and it's the color of the album.
I didn't even know that Charlie was a she, so. What? I'm sorry.
You're fine. I was able to track down court documents, including witness accounts, summarized by the Honorable Patricia H. Jenkins, ahead of an appeal. At 8 p.m. on March 24th, 2006, a Friday evening, several teenagers observed Martin Malone, a homeless man, which I don't believe that he was homeless. I don't know why the judge said that, but he was living with his sister. Maybe just because of the way he looked, which I don't love. Carrying a shovel through the parking lot, that's how he was seen, in Upper Darby near Modell's store, which is a sporting goods store that is now permanently closed.
Oh.
There's a Cinnabon down the street, though. And a movie theater.
I thought you were going to throw in a moon fact. I was waiting for it, but there was no moon fact that came, just random.
So he's near St. Eugene's Field at this point as well. The teenagers then witnessed Andre Mark, 18, and Christopher McInerney, who was only 16 years old. They were walking after Martin while taunting him and yelling insults and curses. So he was at this point, he was at the dumpster behind the sporting goods store, which I'm sure had lots of great stuff in it.
This is gonna make me sad.
I mean, yeah, it most certainly will.
I don't like it.
Mark and McInerney then threw rocks at him, much like the guards.
Except towards the Jews. The Jewish kids were throwing rocks at the asshole guards. That wasn't...
Oh, never mind. That's nothing like that. There's rocks, though.
Yeah.
Mark and McInerney then threw rocks at him that they got from a construction site in the parking lot. And Martin hid behind a nearby dumpster to avoid being hit by the rocks. The teenagers who were witnessing this noticed that McInerney had a shiny object in his hand. This was a knife. As the teenage witnesses drove by, the two assailants began running after Martin. McInerney motioned with the knife, taunting the victim with it. Mark and McInerney yelled at him to put down the shovel and fight. After driving a few blocks away, these teenage witnesses returned to the Bishop Hill Apartments, which are the 2020 winner of the Best Apartment Living Award, according to the Pennsylvania Apartment Association.
And this was what year?
Well, this was in 2006, so several...
So they've come back.
Okay. Yeah. At this place, you're invited to embrace the tranquil, tree-lined community offering seamless access to the SEPTA regional rail stations, which is pretty cool. So the witnesses saw the victim lying on a field. The boys called the police. Martin had shovel marks on his face and was bleeding.
Jesus.
Yeah, and very badly injured. He ended up dying from the injuries that he suffered in this attack.
What the fuck is wrong with people?
I know. The medical examiner concluded that the manner of death was homicide caused by multiple stab wounds. So stepping out of this summary again. First, horrifying. Brutal attack.
Still waiting for a moon connection to make this worthwhile.
Hang tight. Martin suffered 8 stab wounds in total, mostly in the buttocks. I don't know why this bothers me so much, but they used a multi-tool. So it wasn't just a knife, but it was like one of those... Like
a pocket knife, Leatherman things.
I don't know. Awful. Back to the summary. On March 26, 2006, Mark admitted to Upper Darby police that he and another guy... It was McInerney, threatened Martin after they saw him, quote, going through a dumpster. Who fucking cares? Leave him alone.
Wow.
The confrontation began with words. They were calling him a bum. Not what he was, again, but it escalated to rock throwing after Martin mooned the two.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Mark claimed that the victim swung a shovel at him, but that he and the other person quickly got the upper hand. Mark admitted to punching the victim in the jaw, quote, and we just beat the guy. Mark claimed that McInerney struck the victim with the shovel. McInerney also gave a statement to police in which he admitted yelling at Martin and throwing rocks at him with Mark. McInerney claimed that he stabbed Martin only after he hit him with a shovel. McInerney also admitted to hitting this poor man in the head with a shovel that he, I guess, took from him. Yeah, so, you know, attacking someone after you have taken the weapon from them. Yeah, pretty awful. After the brutal attack, they left Martin to die in a grassy field. The two hid the shovel that they used in the attack and then spread the contents of his book bag across the field in some attempt to disguise what had happened. That's what they said. To me, it seems like they were maybe looking through his stuff for things of value.
Yeah, so after making fun of him for diving through dumpsters, they were like, oh, I wonder if there's anything we want
go
in there.
Go through his stuff, yeah.
So it's okay to dive through somebody's belongings, not through things that don't belong to someone?
It's not okay to go through discarded things. It's okay to rob people after you physically assault them.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it makes
sense.
Right,
good.
So obviously, they left him in the middle of this field, which was a place that they thought no one would find them, at least for a while. However, though, those witnesses who called the police, they ended up providing descriptions of the attacker's clothing, and this led to the pretty swift arrest of the two.
And so they confessed pretty quickly.
Yeah, when they were approached 2 days later. Christopher McInerney and Andre Mark were tried separately. Christopher was found guilty of first-degree murder on May 7th, 2007, and was sentenced to life in prison without parole. Andre Mark was found guilty of third-degree murder by a jury in March of that same year. On May 29th, 2007, he was sentenced to 20 to 40 years in state prison.
Wow.
Yeah. During Mark's sentencing, victim impact statements were given by Kevin Brown, that guy that I started this story with. Longtime family friend, as well as Martin's sister, Isabel Lee. Isabel Lee said, all of this you did for nothing. But she also said that she believes that Mark can reclaim his soul, even if her brother can't reclaim his life.
Really?
Yeah, you have many people who still love you and hope and dream for you, she said. We've been waiting for this day to say to your family, we understand you are in pain too, which is such a...
What a nice woman.
Thoughtful,
Jesus.
Empathetic.
God, that's a lot better than I would be.
Yeah. Mark's father asked Malone's family to, quote, accept their deepest apologies. And he went on to say, I really taught my son about the value of life, and I thought he understood. I want you to understand we did all we could.
Hmm.
And then Mark, described as a baby-faced teenager in this Philadelphia Inquirer article, which was called 20 to 40 Years for Mooning Murder, he just rambled off kind of an apology, including, I didn't want him to die like that. I'm sorry for my involvement, and I want to show you I'm sincere.
My involvement. Yeah. I fucking murdered him.
Yeah, killed this man. Yeah. For nothing.
Well, Byron.
Awful.
That's great.
Senseless situation.
Wow.
Yeah, you can't really say, I mean, justice was served, but... When it's such a completely
a situation like that, I don't know that justice ever can be really served.
Yeah.
Like, that's just horrible. And now I feel gross.
Well, sorry about that.
So
maybe you'll knock all this Moon June bullshit off after this.
No, now I'm just going to have to make sure that I come up with more bullshit and leave no room for you next year.
Sure. Okay. Well, I have one more quick story that I'd like to wrap up the night with.
Okay. Is it going to bother me more or less?
I think probably somewhere in between.
In between more and less than the last one?
It has to,
so it's going to bother me the exact same amount as the last one.
It was a rainy night, February 22nd, 2014, in Milton, New Zealand. We're back there, Kelly. What? That's where a lot of people do mooning, right?
Well, no, but my mooning was like act of resistance against oppressing
well,
colonial powers.
An incident occurred involving a gentleman named Travis Jason Stephen Lane. It's four names.
Yeah, it is too many.
It's fine. He's a 25-year-old shop worker who had left a party at his house where he had indulged in a lot of alcohol.
Okay, like what?
And cannabis.
Like what?
I don't have a list exactly. I read somewhere stubbies, which I think, you know, they call those like glass bottles with like Mickey's or
Sessions.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, a lot of those, handful of other beverages, but
okay.
Dressed in dark clothes, began running out into Union Street, where he was, according to his friends...
Oh, boy.
What did they say? That he wanted to be a little cheeky and show passers-by the brown eye.
I mean... Okay.
Yeah.
It seems a bit, like, 14-year-old appropriate.
Sure.
But, okay.
He was 25. Yeah. What is it? Two stubbies of beer, several glasses of bourbon and cola... four glasses of vodka and orange juice, and then a quantity of cannabis the night of the incident.
A quantity.
Yeah. They call it doing brown eyes, actually, which I had to look up because I had completely forgot about the, you know, the slang nickname for the anus, I suppose.
Yeah, but what's weird to me about that is, I mean, you got to work real hard and have a very certainly structured buttocks for that to even be possible.
That's true. That's a lot of...
Wow. Okay.
So unfortunately, at about 8:35 that night, one of these attempts to moon traffic didn't go so well. When a Toyota van who had actually slowed down and tried to go around him ended up striking him in the butt while he was attempting to moon them.
Wait.
Yeah, they collided. It was dark. The van at the last moment saw him, tried to slow down and swerve, but ended up hitting him. Unfortunately, he suffered severe brain injuries and a fractured arm.
Okay.
He was taken to Dunedin Hospital, and he fell into a coma and never regained consciousness.
Okay, so this wasn't like somebody got pissed.
No, not at all. According to the coroner, this was really kind of rude, honestly. He paid the ultimate price for his foolishness, said the coroner.
Ugh.
Because
so grim.
He did have some successful moons, though. His friends in this group at the party, they were laughing. They were really enjoying his antics. It just didn't end well for him. And unfortunately, March 28th, he lost his life. Paid the ultimate price.
Wow.
For mooning.
Yeah, but just him.
Sure.
And not at the hands of someone evil.
No. This is just him being a goofball. Yeah, and just to clarify, there was some reports that he had been treated for mental illness and suicide as well as drug addiction.
Oh, so this could have been...
It wasn't, though.
Oh, it wasn't?
No.
You really don't think so?
Pretty sure it was just...
Because it's an awful thing to do to that poor driver if it
is. Oh, my God, that would be terrible. Yeah, he was the author of his own misfortune. This coroner won't stop. He's kind of going hard on him.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of mean. That seems unnecessary.
Fueled by alcohol and cannabis, his actions were foolish in the extreme, and the van driver wasn't at fault at all. So, I mean, I agree. I don't blame the driver, and I really don't even blame anyone, if I'm being honest.
I don't either. I don't blame anyone, but so, like, somebody's going to get mad at me for this, but I'm going to say it anyway. So,
uh-oh.
If we're going to rank the tragedies,
sure.
Nobody in these stories deserve to die. But in terms of tragedy, I feel like this one was tragic, but the least tragic of our three mooning death vignettes.
Yeah, it's sad, and it's a reminder to, you know, take care of yourself and take care of your friends.
Stop looking, listen, or you'll be missing.
And keep your ass in your pants.
Unless you're around someone who has asked to see it, keep it in.
I think that's a fair point and a great place to stop.
Yeah.
Wow.
Everybody.
Down to the wire, Moon June. It's officially 12 hours until June's over. We pulled it off, Kelly.
I really liked it.
Wow.
I really liked it. Next year, we're going to have even more because there's some stuff that's going to happen with the moon this year.
Excuse me?
You wait and see.
All right. Well, Kelly, until next moon June, I guess until next month, where are you going to be?
Oh,
I guess you're
next
month. You're at the coast?
I'm going to be at the coast. You guys coming?
No, I don't think so.
What?
I didn't even know you were leaving town until last week.
We're there until the 24th. Come visit.
Yeah, you're there for quite some time. We'll see how it goes.
Come visit.
I'm at Byron McCoy on Twitter and Instagram. Byron@frightday.com is my email address. Let's get a True Tales Hetero going pretty soon here. We have some really good stories.
Oh, we do. We
do. So that'll probably happen in the next month or so. Also, a lot of films to cover.
I mean, we've had a pretty good film run of the horror movies.
It turns out there's still good directors making good films. So.
Or at least making good films. I'm not doubling down on anybody being good at this point. Just their product.
Osgood Perkins is a good man.
I mean, he seems like it.
Until next Friday, I'm Byron.
I am Kelly. Stay clothed.
And stay scared.
Been listening to an Audio Wool original produced by Byron McCoy. Theme music provided by Cemeteries. For more programs like this, visit audiowool.co.